Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Happy Tuesday, folks. I want to keep on discussing this topic of narcissism, and I want you to go back into your memory to your own childhood and really think about when it began. Because I remember us being obsessed with certain celebrities, but we weren't then being encouraged to become obsessed with ourselves and our own looks. Like, for example, I have a very fond memory of the Spice Girls. I don't remember them leading to a culture of narcissism and obsession with ourselves. When do you actually recall that becoming commonplace in our society? That's my question for you. We're going to discuss that. Plus, an accused organ murderer busted out of a courthouse and led cops on a two-hour chase. Now, if you're wondering how that happened, of course, there are laws that favor criminals. All that and more today coming up on Candace Owens. Spice Girls, they just made me want to be so happy all the time. I just loved it. You wanted to be one of the Spices. Of course you did. Maybe you were scary or you were baby or you were posh, but it was fun music. It wasn't crazy, but it made you want to go home and obsess over how you looked, right? I think about Britney Spears. Obviously, she was much more sexualized, even though she was quite young. But again, I don't have ideas. I don't remember thinking in my head after listening to Britney Spears' music of, oh my gosh, I really need to go get my lips done, or I need to get Botox, even though I'm a teenager. But that's the culture that we live in today. We live in a culture in which teenagers are getting Botox. You're seeing people that are young, 21, 22, talking about why they're getting preventative Botox. It saddens me when I see them getting these lip injections and seeing all these trends. And so I ask the question, where or when or with whom did this all begin? And I think you know the answer. It's an answer that you don't want to talk about, that you don't want to listen about, because everybody, when you talk about the Kardashians, just goes, make it stop, make it go away. But it hasn't gone away, and it's been decades. And for those of you that are thinking, well, we need to not discuss it, you are wrong, okay? Their power culturally, their significance, what they have contributed in terms of making entire generations of women hate themselves is beyond significant. Thinking about this topic today because there have been some headlines that have run saying that Anna Wintour is considering disinviting them from the Met Gala this year, that she doesn't want to invite the Kardashian family. In fact, I had heard rumblings, by the way, that Anna Wintour never liked the Kardashians at all and that she actually only respected Kanye enough. And because Kim was married to Kanye, she then started welcoming them into the high fashion society circles. Now, I don't know if that's true. Maybe it will prove false and the entire Kardashian clan will be at the Met Gala, but it is worth discussing. It's worth discussing because it makes me wonder whether or not we as a society are willing to put this genie back in its bottle. What genie am I talking about? Well, the thing that should disturb you about the Kardashian empire, aside from the fact that it is causing women to hate themselves, okay? People that follow the women and people that are obsessed with the women ultimately turn that obsession into self-obsession. And they look at themselves and they think, I am not beautiful enough and I need to be more to try to be beautiful. But the bigger problem with the Kardashians is the fact that they lie. I've never seen anything like it in my life. Everything that they have built has been built upon lies. They lie repeatedly. They get caught lying repeatedly and there's no consequence. People still want to buy their products. They don't care. Just one example, we're speaking about lip injections. We know where that culture started. It started with an insecure Kylie Jenner, right? A member of the family, and she was 15 years old. Personally, I believe that her mother, Kris Jenner, should have been put into prison for allowing her 15-year-old daughter to inject her lips and to transform her entire face because she wanted a bigger pout. But then she lied. She came back with giant lips and a different face. And then she told the public that she actually never got her lips done. She kept up that lie for years. And years later, she admitted to it. And she said, yeah, no, I was insecure about my lips. But for 2 years, you lied to young teenagers who followed you, believing that your pout was real. Okay? You encouraged these women to believe that their lips were not big enough. She then began selling Kylie Jenner lip kits because she said, oh, I'm just overdrawing my lip. That's all that I'm doing. And so she contributed to their empire of lies. Beyond that, of course, is the infamous Kylie Jenner flu. I remember watching this. It was incredible. Kylie Jenner, I guess, was off of Instagram for a few days. I don't follow any of the Kardashians. But she came back and suddenly she had a really big chest. Obviously, she got a boob job. Obviously, she has edited almost every portion of her body. She has augmented almost every part of her body. I don't know what Kylie Jenner is supposed to look like, right? She went from a tiny, thin girl to a very voluptuous girl. And then when she came back, she said, sorry, I was gone, guys. I got the flu. I've had the flu for the last couple of days. And people said, what kind of flu is this? Again, another lie. But nobody cares. Nobody thinks it's problematic that they are lying to the public. Sometimes the lies are even more sinister, though, and we've talked about this on the show, so we don't need to go into it deeply. But let's not forget that their entire career was launched off of a sex tape, that sex tape belonging to Kim Kardashian, which the public was led to believe, myself included, was stolen from her. She had sex with her boyfriend, Ray J. She couldn't believe that somebody took that sex tape, and that was why everyone began watching her and knew who she was, because they were watching her sharing an intimate moment with her boyfriend. Update, it's been about 18 years since that day, and her boyfriend in that tape, Ray J, has said, no, we agreed to release this sex tape to help make her more famous. This was what was being done at that time. It was Pamela Anderson, who actually had her stolen. There was Paris Hilton, who released her own with her boyfriend, and Kim Kardashian was part of that culture, but she lied for years, he says. We went in and we struck the deal. We wanted to make profits and enough with these lies. It's been 18 years now, but she cried. Nobody cared. There's no consequence for the fact that she was so willing and so ready to become famous that her and her mother sat down and decided that she should record herself having sex and then release it to the public. This is a woman that's supposed to be an example to young women. She is, whether or not you want her to be or not. If you go, I don't look up to her. Let me tell you, if your child is on the internet, if your child is on social media, they are looking at Kim Kardashian, this woman who sold her body for fame. That was the exchange. Perhaps the most sinister lie of all, which we've all known for years, they have not yet confessed, so we'll say allegedly for now, so we'll pretend we're stupid, the idea that Khloe Kardashian is a Kardashian. Are we dumb? We have not seen the childhood. Have you looked at the childhood photos of her with kinky hair? Have you looked at her next to her siblings? Have you looked at the size of her? Have you looked at her nose? Have you looked at the obvious missing widow's peak, which is a dominant trait in which she never had? Have you considered the fact that she and her family have never sued Robert Kardashian's widow, who came out and outright said that she was not Robert's daughter and that Robert told her that? Have you considered the fact that on one episode, they pretended she was going to get tested to figure out whether or not he was her real father, but then at the end, she decided, never mind, I don't want to look at the results. The PR move to tell you, the masses, that don't look over here anymore. There's not some disgusting family hidden secrets that we just don't want made public. These are big lies, lying about who you are, lying about what you look like, and they have real world consequences. Most recent example, of course, is Kim Kardashian, who told us that she magically lost 15 pounds by just restricting herself from eating. That already would have been a dangerous thing to say publicly because young women suffer from anorexia, right? She probably encouraged a lot of girls to be anorexic so that she could fit into Marilyn Monroe's old dress. Let's look at a side-by-side of Kim Kardashian here. From 2017, before she magically decided to stop eating, and 2022. Well, would you know, after this, it was determined, there was just this explosion, I should say, of celebrities that were taking the shot Wegovy. And if you don't think that Kim Kardashian was taking the shot Wegovy, well, then it might be that you're not thinking... You're just not thinking that she magically dropped 15 pounds suddenly overnight, just at the exact same time, by the way, that her sister, Khloe, who can't even tell you the truth about who she is, right, who is denying her identity her entire life. This is almost like a Rachel Dolezal original, okay? She's lying about who she is. If you believe that at the same time, both of them magically dropped 20 pounds, no doctors were involved at all. They just swore off eating, both of them. Well, you might need to start thinking again. These have real world consequences. Women were lining up for these Wegovy injections. Nobody asked a question because if Kim Kardashian says you should get breast implants or butt implants or lip injections or shots of Wegovy fresh off of the market so that you can look like her, then you just do it. You don't think about the consequences. Now we know the consequences. We are seeing the articles coming in. They didn't know, guys. They did not know. The FDA didn't know, but it looks like it could cause cancer. They didn't know, by the way, but it looks like the shots of semaglutide can also cause your stomach to fold on top of itself and that you could die. It could just explode. Your stomach could explode. They didn't know, though, guys. They just were trying to help you look your best. Of course they knew. They always knew. And that information was probably given to the Kardashians as they lost all of their miracle weight, but they didn't care. Because again, what they do is they lie repeatedly and there's never any consequences for it. Except the consequence, the ultimate consequence, is the society that we're looking at right now. We will say it again, women hate themselves. Women can't stand to see a wrinkle in their forehead, a wrinkle by their eyes. Laugh lines are something that they think are horrible. I've enjoyed my life. Make it go away, doctor. Inject it away, doctor. Are we thick girls today? Do we want to be thick and voluptuous, or do we want to be skinny tomorrow? The cult that the Kardashians have started is a narcissistic one, right? People are not enjoying their lives. People are unhappy on the inside. All of them are clearly unhappy. Look at their lives. I mean, what are we even talking about? Are any of them happily married with children? None of them, right? Because they were willing to trade that for success, for fame, for private jets, for invitations onto red carpets. Roll out the red carpet. I'm invited to the Met Gala. It doesn't matter that my life is not together. It doesn't matter that I don't have a family unit. All of it, I will give it all up for fame and for attention. So maybe, by the way, maybe, we don't know for sure, Anna Wintour might be saying enough is enough. And if she does, great, amazing. Maybe this can be the beginning of some societal healing that needs to take place. And that's all I have to say about that. If you're looking for an affordable, reliable mobile phone service that doesn't compromise on quality or price, then look no further than Pure Talk. The average family saves over $900 a year when they switch to Pure Talk from Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile. Let's think about that. If the average family has 3 to 4 people and is saving over $900 per year, how much would a family of 8 save? This is money that will go to you and your family instead of these massive corporations. Pure Talk is so sure that you're going to love your service that they're backing it up with a 100% money-back guarantee. Stop paying a fortune for your wireless service corporations. Get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $30 a month with Pure Talk. Their U.S.-based customer service team makes the switch really easy. You can switch over to Pure Talk in as little as 10 minutes while keeping your phone and your phone number. And your first month is guaranteed risk-free. Start enjoying an affordable, reliable mobile service that won't let you down. Go to puretalk.com and enter promo code Owens to save 50% off your first month. That's puretalk.com, promo code Owens. Pure Talk is simply smarter wireless. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. Well, the world is ending and it's going to end unless you empty your savings account and give it all to the government or something, at least. That's what climate activists want you to believe, which is why they keep changing the way that we're all going to die every other minute. It's always imminently, though, right? When I was a kid, I tell you guys, it was the global warming thing, the sad polar bears. Oh, there's going to be no more polar bears by the year. Uh-oh, the year came and went. And actually, there are more polar bears today than when Al Gore initially made those predictions. But who cares? It's the climate lobby. The one thing you can't predict is the weather, but they sure do a lot of it. The IPCC and their models telling us that we're all going to die. And people believe them. Kids are scared. And now they have a hero to look forward to. And that hero is Greta Thunberg. She came in on a boat like a wrecking ball. She told Donald Trump, how dare you? And she's here for keeps. She's here for keeps. And she's playing for keeps, rather. And she made a prediction, an astounding prediction, because sometimes they get very excited. You know, they're like, oh, we need to make it even more imminent, make the doom and the gloom even crazier. So in 2018, she tweeted this. I'm not kidding. On June 21st, 2018, she just couldn't help herself. She wrote, a top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. Oh, my gosh. The next 5 years. Do what we say now, or humanity is going to be wiped out. It's always very dramatic. And so she shared that article, tweeted that quotation, and then guess what? 2018, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. yeah, no, humanity has not been wiped out. So what did Greta Thunberg do? She did what every climate alarmist does. She just deleted the tweet. She pretended she never said it. So she just deleted it, I guess. And obviously, Jack Posobiec, who we've had on the show before, he's wonderful, noticed this and said, hey, why'd you delete this tweet telling us that humanity was going to be over in 5 years? Quietly deleting these tweets. Oh, because you still somehow have an audience of people that believe you and you don't want them to know that you're historically a liar. That's what they do. They just lie repeatedly. They work on behalf of global governance. And the idea is to get you to agree to extract your hard-earned money to go towards some communal cause of something that can never be controlled, the climate. You just obviously cannot control the climate. So whether it rains, sleets, hails, or snows, you be sure to give Greta all your money. Or you can do like me and call her out on this tweet on Twitter and say, hey, join Jack. Why'd you delete this? Moving on, you guys, the story is unbelievable. The headline is unbelievable. And this man is a hero. The headline is a Minnesota dad uses a shovel and a moose antler to kill a 77-year-old sex offender who stalked his daughter. Now, I want to be very clear here in telling the story that I am 100% hoping that he does not spend a single minute in prison. And that's part of the reason I'm covering the story. I think that there have been some GoFundMes started for him, people that are raising funds for his defense. I cannot imagine what a father would do. Having exhausted all other options, I just can't imagine what else could have been done here. So this father's name is Levi Axtell. He is 27 years old. He essentially walked into a police station covered in blood and said, I killed a guy. Now, why did he kill a guy? First, let's start with a little history regarding the man he killed. His name was Lawrence Scully. Again, I mentioned this. He was 77 years old when he was a convicted sex offender. The court records show that Scully was also committed to a mental institution in 2020, but was later released and prescribed antipsychotic drugs. Now, he was 33 years old, Scully, just 33 years old when he was initially jailed for molesting a six-year-old girl in Minnesota. He entered a guilty plea and was sentenced between 0 and 5 years to state prison. I cannot imagine why somebody who molests a six-year-old girl would be given 0 to 5 years in state prison, but that is exactly what happened. For whatever reason, we are so soft on pedophiles in this society. He remained in prison until 1981 when he petitioned for post-conviction release. A document from the hearing declared the state had not served any evidence that he would present a danger to the public, which is incredible because he molested a six-year-old. So I think that that should be enough evidence that he is a danger to the public. In 2018, he was once again facing allegations of sexual misconduct with minors. And this are the allegations that came from Levi Axtell. Can you imagine what this father went through? 2018, he sought that order of protection because his young daughter was being stalked, he alleges, by this man, Lawrence Scully. He wrote in his petition that he did not know this man at all, that his daughter does not know him at all, and that Lawrence was waiting for his daughter to go on walks from daycare, and he would try to talk to her. And he had been there many times at the daycare, stalking children in his van. He wrote, quote, I have seen him parked right next to the school. He is a convicted pedophile, and him stalking and attempting to groom my daughter is completely inappropriate and needs to stop. The request was temporarily granted by Judge Michael Cuzzo, which forbade Scully from going within 6 blocks of Axtell's home. But the permanent order was later denied, as the judge said that the allegations are not proven true. What does that mean? The allegations are not proven true. So clearly, he tried to do things the right way by going through the court system. The right way was denied for whatever reason. And then what happened and how things escalated was that he observed Scully and his vehicle once again parked at one of the locations where his children were present. And he believed that he would reoffend. And so what happened was he went to his home and he broke in and he struck him 15 to 20 times with a shovel that he had found on the victim's deck. Axtell then told officers that he finished the job with a large moose antler. And so this man is now dead. And all I can say is that I hope that the judge presiding over this case looks at this record, looks and sees that he did everything that he could to protect his children. You guys know how passionate I am when it comes to stalking and really believing that the court systems get it wrong, as being someone, as being an individual who has gone, tried to go through and do the right thing when I was once stalked. It's incredible. They basically say that until someone actually does something, we can't help you. So in this circumstance, he basically was saying, well, we know that he's a pedophile. We know that we probably shouldn't have let him out. We know that he's been in a mental institution. We know that he is on antipsychotic drugs. We know that he is showing up at your daughter's daycare. We know that he is showing up where your daughter plays with his van, but we just need you to, what, cross your fingers and hope that nothing bad happens. And this dad said, I find that to be unacceptable. He obviously flew into a rage, and now this man is dead. And I don't feel badly about that. I know that some of you guys are going to comment and say that's very unchristian for you to say. And I'm not even going to say that you would be wrong. I just, when it comes to pedophiles, I am a mother to two young children. I can spare no emotion for this man. I am very hopeful that this father will get off. Hopefully he will plead temporary insanity. And I don't know what people expect fathers to do when their daughters, their young daughters, having walking back from daycare, are being threatened by pedophiles. So Levi Axtell, you are a hero in my book. All right, guys, moving on. I often tell you guys that the university system just needs to collapse because it does need to collapse because it is not academic anymore. It's not an academic environment. People are not learning. It's kind of, I would say, a big daycare, but even at daycares, there's some order, right? There's some order, and you don't just have a bunch of people running around screaming and crying and talking about their feelings and acting like little narcissists and thinking, I don't want to hear this person speak, even though I don't need to be here. I just want to show up to tell you that I don't think that you should be here either. So is the circumstance at Stanford University. This is one of the big universities, obviously. Don't you want your children to go to Stanford or Harvard? Well, this is Stanford Law School. And they invited a Trump-appointed federal appeals court judge to appear at an event and to speak. Okay? He accepts the invitation to speak. He arrives at the campus and he is instead shouted down. He can't get a word in edgewise. Take a listen.
I respect you, Steinbeck. It's disgusting.
So you've invited me to speak here, and I'm being heckled nonstop. And I'm just asking for an administrator to sign
up. That's an administrator.
Your racism is showing.
Your racism is showing. How? Because he's white? Is his racism showing just because he has white skin? Nobody knows. He asked essentially for a dean to come and intervene. Like, what would you like me to do? I got invited here to speak. I'm now not being allowed to speak because these children are so upset. And I'm calling them children because they are children. These are not young adults. These are not people that are going to get out into society and contribute in any manner, right? These are brats, and he's in front of them. And the dean did show up. And here is what she had to say.
I'm uncomfortable because this event is tearing at the fabric of this community that I care about and I'm here to support. That for many people here, your work has caused harm, has caused harm. And I know that must be uncomfortable to hear. I know that must be. Let me please finish. The pain that this causes and the division that this causes, you have something so incredible, important to say about Twitter and guns and COVID that is worth this impact on the division of these people who have sat next to each other for years. And I hope if you learn anything, that you can listen through. You can listen through your partisan lens, the hyper-political lens, and just look and see human beings who are asking you to take care. Many people go before Judge Duncan who do not necessarily choose to be there. And they have to listen to everything he says. Literally thousands of people. You have a choice. You do not need to stay here if this is not where you want to be.
Are you feeling encouraged by that? Are you feeling encouraged by the state of college campuses today? Now, if you're wondering who that is speaking, that is Chirin Steinbeck. She is the associate dean for what? You're probably wondering, for what? She doesn't sound very smart. She doesn't sound very intelligent. Don't worry, guys. She's associate dean for diversity, equity, and inclusion. In other words, she is the dumbest associate dean on campus. No questions asked. She's probably the dumbest teacher, dumbest person, member of staff on campus, bar none, because these are made up positions. There are no qualifications other than you know how to cry and you know how to assist others in crying. She's just there to indulge students in their feelings. How do you feel today? Do you feel sad that this judge is here because he was appointed by Trump and because he does his job, he doesn't take into account the feelings of the criminals? She says, you have a choice to be here. as she says to students. She says the people that are in his courtroom don't have a choice. No, they do have a choice. You don't have to commit crimes. It is your choice to commit a crime. But she doesn't understand that, of course, because she's dumb. She's stupid. These are positions where they just insert people that look the right part, right? So they can say, see, we're doing our part. This is why I will forever make the argument that we need to collapse the university system and we need to not send students to the university just because. You want to go on and be a doctor, you have no other choice, I get it. But for this, you quite literally do not need to be in the room. I go through this all the time. I get invited to speak in college campuses. You get there and you will have students that are staying late. Our events will start at 7:30, 8 o'clock p.m. Students are choosing to stay late so they can protest in the hallways and try to shout you down. This is optional. What these people are is they have a mindset. These are, by the way, if you're looking for the real brown shirts, these are them. They want to shut you down. There can be no thoughts. There can be no ideas. There can be no discussion. It'd be academic to push back, to raise your hand, to be polite. No, instead they act like a bunch of Neanderthals, right? They can, of course, debate him and say, I don't understand this decision that you made, and here's why I found it to be wrong. And they could hear him defend his decisions in an academic setting, but nope, that's not what Neanderthals want. This is the post-George Floyd era. This is now, we live, everything is now post-George Floyd, which basically dictates to students that if you have a feeling, then you should scream, and you should shout until you get what you want. Let's see where our society will wind up in about 10 years. Even with Roe overturned, the number one killer of infants continues to be abortion. In this country alone, abortion takes the lives of nearly 1 million babies per year. Preborn Network Clinics is determined to put a stop to abortion by introducing expecting mothers to their unborn children via ultrasound. Upon hearing that heartbeat, expectant mothers are 80% more likely to choose life. The majority of women who enter preborn clinics are being pressured to abort.
I encountered a lot of pressure from some people that were telling me to get an abortion. I had a dream before I had my sonogram that I was pregnant with a boy. It was early. But in my dream, I just heard a voice say, Eli. And then when I came to the Fort Worth Pregnancy Center and I saw my baby on the sonogram picture, he had a little halo around his head, and I heard his heartbeat, and I thought, God, I don't know why you picked me, but I'm terrified, but God, make a way. It really hit home that, oh my gosh, there's a miracle literally growing inside of my womb.
How can you help? A donation of just $28 will provide one ultrasound. $140 will provide five ultrasounds. Let's save some lives today. Help me secure my goal of rescuing 10,000 babies this year. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword, baby. That's #250, baby. Or you can go to preborn.com/Candace. That's preborn.com/Candace. Moving on, you guys, and speaking of equity and inclusion, it is very important that we consider the feelings of criminals. I think that's kind of what we're getting from that associate dean, right? Well, they're doing that in Oregon, and I'm going to tell you how it's going. An accused murderer was able to flee cops and bust out of a courthouse in a daring escape during his pretrial last month. Now, the accused murderer is Eddie Villalobos. He's 28 years old. He was charged in 2021 with slaying a 33-year-old named Artemio Guzman Oliveira. Well, he's in the courthouse, and you're going to see this video. And essentially, Oregon has a new state law, or maybe it's an older state law, that requires all accused persons to be unshackled while in front of a jury so that the restraints do not taint the juror's decision. Now, that's very considerate to criminals, right? We don't want you to think that he's a criminal because he's being shackled. And so to make him appear as he is, which is innocent until proven guilty, we're going to remove the shackles. Now, personally, you murder someone, I like you to remain shackled, might mean that you might engage in some other risky behavior, like running while you're unshackled. Take a look. And so for those of you that are listening to the podcast, he gets up from his chair, he's wearing a blue button down, and he's off from the courtroom. No chance these cops are catching him. They're trying their best. I mean, there's absolutely no way they're going to get him. He's down the hallway, down another hallway, past individuals who don't even have enough time to process what is going on, and he's out the door. He's gone. Voila. He is out of the courthouse. Thank you, woke laws, for treating a criminal. He's so innocent that we're just going to remove the shackles so that you guys don't get the wrong idea here. And that is the consequence of that. It is just absolutely stupid. Now, what happened, if you're looking for an update of that, a two-hour manhunt ensued. He fully made it out of the courthouse and into society. And they had to send out a shelter-in-place message to all of the local residents. Because if you imagine how scary that is, I'm sorry, somebody has escaped. How did he escape? Well, we unshackled him. Okay. Well, he was sprinting around the neighborhood. They were using drones. They were using canine units, everything that they could to possibly apprehend him. Fortunately, they were tipped off by a resident of an apartment complex about a man that was attempting to break into a door, and they were able to find him hiding under a blanket inside of an empty apartment 2 hours later. I don't know what to say, guys. That is just America for you. You know where that wouldn't have happened? Saudi Arabia. No chance. No chance. They're unshackling their criminals because they want them to appear nice before the jury. But what do I know? All right, guys, I think we have 1 or 2 minutes left here. Let's jump into a few of your comments on episodes past. First up, Luke Dahl, you're writing regarding Zelensky, the video that I showed you guys of him dancing in high heels, and it's just disgusting to look at. He's just really, he's just an abomination. I think Zelensky is an abomination. I really do. Luke Dahl writes, I first saw this video of Zelensky about a year ago, and it's something you simply cannot unsee. What's funny is that I just saw Zelensky in his, you know, armied fatigues that he's always wearing before I saw the video. But that's who I saw. Like, I just, everything about him is just so clearly an act that it's amazing to me that it's taken this long for people to finally realize that. This is one of those things where people condemned me so hardcore for not being on the Zelensky train. And I think it's because people just like social justice causes. They want to feel like America is doing the right things overseas. And why would we be doing the right things overseas? We're not even doing the right thing here. Our government isn't even doing the right thing here in America. So, of course, we're up to no good overseas. Next comment in that same vein, Mary Hannah Smith writes, LMFAO, Zelensky looks like a backup dancer in a Sam Smith video. I really question what dimension I currently live in. I would argue in that video, actually, Sam Smith was more covered at the Grammys in his red latex than Zelensky was covered in his black latex and heels. So, but I'm sure Zelensky was just expressing himself as an actor. He's constantly expressing himself as an actor. I'm just tired of hearing from him. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time that we have for today. I have lots of exciting content coming up for you exclusively on Daily Wire Plus. You guys already know you're going to hear me talking about it nonstop until it's officially launched in a couple of weeks. We're bringing a shot in the dark to Daily Wire. It might have a different title. We might be calling it something else altogether, but it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. And I just can't wait to bring this to parents so they can really learn all about Big Pharma. And I think finally people are ready to hear about it. So if you want to be one of the first to watch it, click link in the description to subscribe to Daily Wire Plus right now. And be sure to come back tomorrow because I will have a brand new episode for you.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.